Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Hello, I'm Kristen Meinzer, host of Health Matters, a Mayo Clinic podcast investigating topics big,
the influence of gravity,
and small,
brain-eating amoeba.
We talk about our health, bodies, and the world around us.
Get off the toilet, you're going to have hemorrhoids.
So join me in conversation with some Mayo Clinic experts as we strive for happier, healthier lives. Mayo Clinic's Health Matters, new episodes every other week, wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome, everybody, to today's exciting episode.
Cannon to the left of them. Cannon to the right of them. Cannon in front of them. Volleyed and thundered.
Could you get back in the kitchen, please, Jeffrey?
I was about to say Jeffrey Epstein, but that's not his name.
Definitely not the right Jeffrey.
Jeffrey the butler. Do we ever find out his last name in Fresh Prince?
Don't know.
That's one for Google.
Yeah. That is a mystery that we might have to cover on the podcast.
Yes, he never had a last name.
No, he was just Jeffrey. Butler.
Jeffrey Butler.
Butler did it.
Underrated character in Fresh Prince.
Very good character. Probably because he's the English guy.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we're biased. Yeah,
maybe. Anyway, we are carrying on with Evil Empires.
Yes, because I done such a great job last week on presenting Disney being evil.
Well, in fairness, you did a very good job of laying that claim. I'm probably going to knock you clean out of the park. Although it's
probably
a little bit unfair what I've done, to be honest. Because I mean, you went well. In fairness, we manufactured these episodes so that you could have a rant about Disney. And then I decided that Evil Empires was the theme. And so I've gone with the evilest of empires.
The most evil.
The most evil. We're talking Big Pharma, baby.
Oh, Big Pharma. Pirates coming for you.
Oh, yeah. One company in particular that was a menace to society.
Oh, I like that word. Menace.
Back in the 1990s, early 2000s, this company was just probably one of the most evil pharma companies you could possibly imagine. But we'll start at the start.
Okay.
We're going to go all the way back to like the 1940s and 1950s.
That far back?
That far back. Because you've got to start at the start of the story. And the start of the story starts with a man called Arthur Mitchell Sackler. And I think he was born in 1913. He was a medical doctor. He trained in lobotomy. And lobotomy, for those who don't know, is the really nice practice of doing like minor brain surgery by taking a surgical hole punch and literally hammering it through the back of the eye socket into the brain to make patients a lot more calm and receptive.
That made me feel queasy.
Yeah, it's not a nice practice. It did happen though. And Arthur Sackler, he was a specialist in this, but he wanted to put it to bed. He didn't see that it was enough money making opportunity in it, because obviously the procedure worked.
Oh, it did actually work.
It made sure that patients were more placid once they'd had a metal bar rammed into their brain. Yeah, it did. But they were
functioning afterwards?
To certain degrees.
Okay.
I'm not going to say that these were healthy people, you know. These were people suffering with mental disorders and stuff, you know. People that would have been locked up in straitjackets and thrown insane asylums and stuff. And then he'd come along, go dunk, 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 through the back of the eyeball, and suddenly they were nice and calm. And hey,
I'm
a lot more placid.
I could see how that would work,
But the thing is, it's a one-time deal. You're not getting repeat prescriptions from something that is just a one-time operation. So Arthur Sackler, he decided to put his money into medicinals, pharmaceuticals. And his first invention, if you like, his first marketed prescription drug was what literally called it a lobotomy in a bottle.
That sounds so pleasant.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it's basically just concoctions of drugs that would that are depressants, you know, calm you down. We still have them these days. Valium is a big one. And in fact, I think Arthur Sackler was, he actually won the rights to produce Valium. He was one of the people that actually developed it, marketed it, produced it. And he got a very unique marketing strategy that made him very successful. Rather than offering his drugs straight to the Board of Governors and letting them distribute it right out to hospitals and where it was needed, he decided to target physicians directly. GPs, you know, general practitioners, people, just doctors, everyday doctors.
So kind of cutting out the middleman.
Yeah. And he'd just go there and promote his pharmaceutical products, get them to write prescriptions in them. Obviously, the way it works in America is it's all obviously done through medical insurance, isn't it? Mm. So the doctors write the prescription and then claim off the medical insurance so they get paid.
Right.
Yeah? Everyone's happy.
Mm, yeah, I see what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, it did work. And Arthur Sackler, he made a very good name for himself, became very successful, very wealthy, multi-millions in quite a short amount of time. Mm. And he loved it. He absolutely loved it.
I bet he did.
Change in life for him and his family. And he was able to indulge in his own like private passions. He loved artwork, and that sort of thing. And what he really loved was obviously himself.
Mm.
And so he would donate artwork and donate money, you know, in the millions to these museums and stuff, you know, art showcasing studios, and they would all put.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes see details.
It took a lifetime to find the person you want to marry. Finding the perfect engagement ring is a lot easier. At BlueNile.com, you can find or design the ring you've always dreamed of with help from Blue Nile's jewelry experts, who are on hand 24/7 to answer questions, and the ease and convenience of shopping online. For a limited time, get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more with code LISTEN at BlueNile.com. That's $50 off with code LISTEN at BlueNile.com.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
His name on the front of the building, Arthur M. Sackler, and that was what he loved. That was his legacy. His name was going to go down in history, and he would be remembered forever
as a nice, generous man.
I guess a pioneer of the medical industry, and he was in some respects until he died in 1987 of a heart attack. And by this point, he'd got quite a lot of investments in these pharmaceutical companies, big and small, producing different things. And when he died and his estate was handed down to his descendants, they didn't actually know how much money he'd got left. They couldn't figure it out. They were asking the lawyers, you know, was he broke? And the lawyer was like, might be, not really sure. To be honest, they had to pull all his assets together, figure out what was what, and they basically sold the lot. And they kept hold of one pharmaceutical company, which I think was originally called Purdue Franklin. And they sold off the two-thirds that they didn't own and just kept the initial company, which they then called Purdue Pharmaceuticals, Purdue Pharma.
Okay, so it's just that one company.
Yeah. And this was undertaken by his nephew, I believe it was, Richard Sackler, Richard Stephen Sackler. And Richard realised that this one company wasn't enough to keep him in the lifestyle that he was used to. I mean, these were millionaires. They got mansions and stuff, like, you know, a lot of money involved. And he realised that just that one company producing the one drug that they were producing was never going to sit him in that lifestyle for the rest of his life, let alone the rest of his family.
Yeah.
The one drug that they were producing was called MS Contin. And it was an opioid. Opioids are obviously come from opium, poppies. Mm-hmm. Basically the same base product that makes heroin.
Yeah, same family.
Yeah, same family. Yeah. All the same sort of thing, just different applications. Highly addictive. Very effective painkiller. Very, very effective painkiller. Mm-hmm. Which is why MS Contin was only used in end-of-life care. Like people who were like on death's door, cancer, or, you know, whatever it is, you know, literally people who, it doesn't matter if they get addicted to it because they're only going to be alive for a matter of weeks, maybe even days.
You know, that was always the sad thing about Kurt Cobain, wasn't it? Everyone thinks that he was a heroin addict because he just loved heroin. And I'm sure that was a very small part of it, but he had something wrong with his
intestines.
He had
stomach ulcers. Stomach ulcers, yeah, which was probably caused by drugs and alcohol in the start, because obviously he was rock star, and obviously, yeah, he just kept taking heroin to take the pain away,
yeah,
rather than get the issue resolved properly. But yeah, and MS Contin was exactly that, you know, it was an end of life painkiller of the opioid type. The MS is the opioid, and the Contin was the coating that they put on it so that it dissolved slowly over 12 hours.
That's a long time.
It is, yeah, but, that's how they do these things. So you don't overdose at the same time as well, because you're taking quite a few milligrams of opium or morphine, if it's been converted. And to do that long, that delayed time release is safer. And obviously lasts longer.
That's quite smart, quite impressive, really.
It is.
Because I'm guessing if it wasn't for that coating, you would overdose.
Well, the coating is all throughout it, you know. It's not just like the sugar glaze on the top. The pill is made up of this stuff that is time release as well. So it only breaks down slowly over time. The pill, it's like if you take, I don't know, like an aspirin or an ibuprofen, throw that down, yeah? An hour later, that's going to be all dissolved, isn't it? Whereas the pill was made out of stuff that takes time for the stomach acids to get through it and dissolve it.
Yeah, because I was picturing an M&M or a Skittle.
No. More like a classic paracetamol or something like that, you know, just a classic round pill. And that's what it was. And it was on the market, but obviously, with it being an end-of-life care product, it didn't sell massive amounts. You know, it was kind of a niche market that was suiting. Mm. Richard Sackler, this wasn't good enough for him. He needed a wonder drug, similar to that, but one that he could market for a wider appeal of pain relief. You know, people who've got broken bones or, you know, just general ongoing, like rheumatism, you know, stuff like that, arthritis, maybe like Parkinson's disease, that sort of thing. He was target. Because, like, when you think of end-of-life care, if you imagine a paranormality scale, 1 to 10, right, MS Contin is for the people who are in the, like, 8, 9, and 10 pain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? right? He wanted to market for people who were in like 4, 5, 6, 7.
The middle ground.
And this is what he needed, a drug to hit that middle ground so he could open it up to a wider market. And this is where it turns a turn for the dark side, because they'd got this MS Contin drug. It's an opioid. It's in America, classed as a Schedule II narcotic. Mm. Yeah? So highly illegal, apart from being prescribed by doctors, you know, in the right hands, in the right doses.
Okay, so at least you couldn't just buy it off the shelves then?
No, no, not just over the counter. It has to be prescription.
Good, okay. At least they got that.
Yeah, yeah, which, in fairness, I think was still the case when he released his next drug. But basically, he went to the people who designed MS Contin, and he said, we need something to hit this more open, broader market. Is there any way that we can take MS Contin and convert it into something that we can do that with, open it up to a broader market? And they were like, well, it's an opioid. What do you want us to do? So he went, increase the strength and we'll sell it.
Increase
the strength of the opium inside the drug and then market it to people that are not end-of-life care, that just have broken bones or, you know, less serious ailments.
That seems the wrong way around.
Easily, isn't it just?
Okay, red flag already.
Very big red flag. Yeah. And they knew what they were doing. Because they set up this, like, think tank where they just got people in, random people off the public, and they'd put up, like, a blackboard or whatever, whiteboard. They'd write down words. What do you think of the word opium? Oh, death. Don't like it. You know, end of life. Right, what do you think of oxycodone, which is another popular drug at the time? Oh, yeah, wonderful, pain relief. Mm. And they were sat there watching these people and their reactions to certain words, and they figured if they just call it the right thing, people won't be scared of it, and they can throw people off the scent of exactly what they're doing. So they called this new drug OxyContin. The same 12-hour release with the oxycodone thrown in there, which was, again, another opiate, but which actually did get banned, I think, around in the 90s, because of addiction problems.
Mm. Yeah, makes sense.
And they literally just said, well, as long as we get doctors to prescribe this under medical supervision, there's no reason why we can't sell it. So, they had an awesome opportunity because old Uncle Arthur developed this marketing technique where he went straight to the physicians to sell this stuff.
Poor Arthur.
And Richard Sackler, he took it one step further, mate. He decided that if you want to sell something, best way to do it, pretty girls. So he got undergrads, college graduates, the prettiest girls that he could find, models, influencers, that sort of thing, and he got them on the payroll. And he was sending them out to all these different GPs, surgeries, you know, doctors, even hospitals, and they'd go out with these little plushy toys of a little OxyContin pill and coupons and stuff and say, here you go, try our drug. Look, you'd be helping a lot more people just by taking the pain away from them. People with arthritis, people with rheumatism, people with, you know, disabilities. You could end their pain and their suffering and make them a lot better. Now, some of the doctors, obviously doctors are educated. They know what opioids are and they know what they're for.
Mm.
But these girls, very convincing.
Mm.
And slowly, even though this product wasn't actually FDA approved to start with, they figured it goes straight through for approval anyway, because it's using all the same stuff that they've been using before that is FDA approved.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah?
It just baffles me that they increased it rather than decrease it.
I know. They literally, yeah, made it even stronger and then marketed it for people that don't even need that strength.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you just increase it and give that to the end of life care and then use the ones that they had been using as the normal? It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense, but it makes money. And that's what they were after.
And addictions.
It does make addictions. And these girls were even told to try and get the doctors to put their patients on like increased dosage. So they'd start off on like 10 milligrams and they'd be like, oh, it's not working so well anymore. Can I take it more often? And the doctors were under the instructions, no, you can't take it more often. We'll up your dosage. So now you're on 20 milligrams. It's just exacerbating the situation. You're just getting people more and more addicted, even though, you know, that full 12 hours, it's not lasting them. Because they're so building bad. Up a tolerance.
That's really bad.
It's disgusting, isn't it?
Yeah.
But this is what was going on. And like I say, this is before they even got FDA approval. Right? And it would have, they basically flew in completely under the radar because they were using a product that was practically the same as a product that was already FDA approved. No one was really questioning them. And it wasn't until someone from the district attorney's office, I think it was Virginia, who was investigating false X-ray claims in GP, in general practitioners. Now, as we said before, the doctors would either issue drugs or they'd do an X-ray or whatever it is, and they'd file the bill to the Medicare companies. So this doctor was claiming for X-rays that he wasn't performing. And someone from the district attorney's office came to do an audit on him, found that his X-ray machine was stuck in a storage cupboard down the back of the surgery somewhere. It hadn't been used in years. And yet he'd claimed like over $100,000 worth of use out of this X-ray machine, which is why he was being audited. So the person doing the audit said, well, I need to look through all your paperwork. You know, are you being honest with me? He's like, yeah, of course I am. And she's like, well, I can't tell that. So you're going to have to give me all of your paperwork so I can go through it line by line and see if you're lying to me or not. And that's what they did. Took it away, went through all of his books, all of his paperwork, underlined anything that they thought was dodgy or that they thought he hadn't been truthful about. And when they went back to him, they were like, you've made a lot of prescriptions here for a drug that I've never heard of. What is OxyContin? So then they had to go around all the pharmacies, took around saying, you know, is this drug real? And the pharmacists were like, yeah, it's actually quite popular here at the moment. A lot of people are on it. And they were going around all these different pharmacies. And even while they were visiting these pharmacies, they were starting to see addicted people come in to the pharmacies after their OxyContin. And the pharmacists were like, no, get out, you're going to cause trouble. And that was it. They're jumping over the counter, trying to rob the place, going through the shelves, trying to find this OxyContin that they're craving because they're addicted.
Wow. I mean, we've only just touched the surface.
Yeah.
Already, this is crazy.
So they went back to the district attorney's office and tried to report it. And to start with, the DA was like, it's not a big deal, like, you know, it'll get approved, blah, 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 you know, whatever, it'll get under control. But it wasn't getting under control.
No,
it wasn't. It was getting worse and worse. The more they were selling, the richer that they were getting. The girls who were out doing the representing and that, like, they were pulling in dollar, mate.
Yeah.
Big dollar. So they weren't going to stop.
I mean, it kind of, you make it sound like the pharmaceutical company was like a bit of a pimp and these women are going out there.
Yeah, it kind of was, yeah.
Yeah.
So they didn't put any limits on what these girls would do to make that sale. Oh. Yeah, that was entirely up to the girls.
Gotcha.
And eventually it did come in front of the board of the FDA.
Okay.
And they thought it was going to fly through. It didn't.
Oh.
Because the one guy who could actually make that approval thought that there was too much drug in the drug. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So you know what they did? The Sacklers?
I'm going to pay them off?
Sort of. Yeah, they appeal to his ego. They give him all the new toys, you know, new computer here. This one's got a webcam. You can go on the internet. You can do this, you can do that. Tried buttering him up. It kind of wasn't working, but it was getting him on their side. And eventually, they managed to approve it with a certain wording on the packaging. Because they were claiming that this OxyContin was so much less addictive than any other opioid on the market. Less than 1% of people would get addicted to it. They were claiming.
Mm.
Yeah? But they were just hiding the results. Anybody that was getting addicted to this drug during the marketing testing, they were just striking it from the record and go, oh, well, just ignore that one and we'll present this case instead. So by the end of it, they'd got a package that said OxyContin is believed to be less addictive than other opioids. That is the only time the term is believed has ever shown up on a drug packet. What it should say is proved to be less addictive, but they couldn't prove it.
That is nuts.
So they put it down as it's believed, got FDA approval. Why? Because more than half of the people in the trials was claiming that it worked. It did work.
Mm. But it's more like 100%.
Too well, yeah.
Wow, okay. So 1% is a crazy statistic to kind of...
To throw around with a heroin-based substance, yeah.
Yeah, heroin based.
Can't believe that anybody believed that.
Isn't heroin the most addictive drug?
One of, yeah.
Yeah, 1%. Yeah. Okay.
So obviously now they've got FDA approval. They're not just in like a single state doing testing and that anymore. These aren't just like medical test trials or nothing. This is approved. It's open. This is going countrywide now. Right. Millions of people are now getting prescribed OxyContin every day as just a pain relief killer, you know, just for anything. If they've had an accident at work, OxyContin. You got rheumatism, OxyContin. My mum fell down the stairs, OxyContin.
So,
you know,
that's quite bad.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in details.
The DSW Black Friday sale is on. Take 30% off almost everything in stores and online right now. Yep, you heard that right. 30% off. Stock up on new shoes, bags, and extras for you and yours from all the gift-worthy brands you love. But hurry, Black Friday can't last forever. Get to your DSW store or DSW.com ASAP to save big. Exclusions apply. Details at DSW.com.
Because you've been with me at work when I've broken bones.
Mm-hmm.
If that happened in America, when this was about, they probably would have prescribed me this for broken bones.
Yeah.
I don't think that needs to happen.
And once you're
heroin
on this stuff, it's very difficult to get off it.
Yeah.
Very, very difficult.
I imagine.
So, yeah, the district attorney had got a hell of a job ahead of them now, with it going countrywide, FDA approved. They had to prove to a court of law that this product was unsafe and really being at least immorally prescribed, if not illegally.
Yeah.
The thing is, eventually, the doctors got on board with this as well because they were starting to see more and more people come to them with addiction problems. You know, they might have started off with a broken leg, something like that. But then when they're coming back asking for more OxyContin, because, oh, you can't tell what, I'm in so much pain, doctor, but your leg's healed. Yeah, but the other pains that I've got, I still need this drug. I mean, I can't deal with life in general and all this sort of thing. It's classic signs of, like, drug addiction rather than...
making them numb.
Yeah. Mm. So the doctors were starting to get on board with this now, and they were obviously prescribing OxyContin less and less and less. Didn't matter because people were going to the black markets, buying it illegally, and then self-medicating, which is a big problem.
Yeah.
When you got opium, heroin, morphine, anything like that, if people start self-medicating on that, that's when it starts becoming a problem, and that's when people started dying. And they did start dying. Many people, thousands, hundreds of thousands.
Wow.
And by the time the district attorney actually managed to get the first court case against OxyContin or against Purdue Pharma, against the Sacklers, the whole lot, they got into the courtroom that morning thinking, we got them, we've nailed them, we're going to get this taken down off the shelves. No, didn't happen. Because Richard Sackler made a phone call the night before, and whoever he made a phone call to made another phone call, and this went up the lines until it hit the White House. And then the White House started issuing orders to the Department of Justice. The Department of Justice issued orders to the district attorney, and the district attorney was told to stand down. And when they arrived in court that morning, the judge sat down and he said, a settlement has been agreed. Everyone's like, what? Yeah, a settlement has been agreed. There are only three cases against people, the people who owned the company. He said, and they have pled guilty to mislabeling the product and will settle accordingly.
So even though hundreds of thousands of people have died?
Yeah.
And
so that was it.
They're not accountable for those deaths?
All the district attorney could do was release a press release saying, well, at least the product is now being, you know, properly labelled, properly administered. Hopefully doctors will be responsible, patients will be responsible, and, you know, will use this drug for its intended purposes, which is more like end-of-life care and that sort of thing. Mm. Well, it didn't matter. People were still trying to use this drug illegally, so it was still flying off the shelves in that manner. Yeah. And Purdue started doubling down on it. They were selling more than ever, making more money than ever.
So no morals whatsoever.
None at all.
They've got their cushy little life. They've got their millions.
Billions.
Billions. It doesn't matter how many people have died.
We're talking in the region of 500,000 people by this point, as a direct result of overdosing on OxyContin.
The actual government and the White House didn't look at the situation and think 500,000 people have died from this drug.
They don't care because, like, who's got the money holds the keys to everything, don't they?
Yeah, I suppose.
And this company's now billionaires.
Yeah.
Billions speak. You know, they when you've got billions behind you, your voice is heard.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, in this case. It carried on going. And eventually, they did manage to bring Purdue Pharma and the Sackler family to the courts of justice. It started, I think it was 2018, 2019 and 2020, although that was a bit of a messed up year. They were bringing their cases to the courts. They brought over 1,600 individual cases of malpractice, you know, misprescribed drugs, addiction, leading to addiction and problems. Over 500 counties across America, 500 counties and cities, including Native American reserves, brought cases to this trial. Yeah?
That's not cool.
But Purdue Pharma, basically, seeing this coming at them, realised they weren't going to survive. They liquidated everything, put a load of their money into offshore accounts, and then filed for bankruptcy.
Oh, yeah, of course they did.
Which, apparently, the court let them have their bankruptcy, and whoever the judge was actually issued them with immunity as well, because there's like that whole double jeopardy in America where you can't get tried for the same thing, crime twice and that. Yeah. Like, so he ruled that they didn't deserve prison time or anything like that. It was just, you know, whatever. I mean, to me, it's clearly malpractice and greed and just absolute evilness. But he granted them immunity, and all they had to, well, I say all they had to pay, they had to pay $4.5 billion in settlement fees over the next 9 years.
Right, so they didn't even have to pay it in one go.
No.
It's spread out.
No, spread out over the next 9 years, still paying it today.
Well, I hope that judge stubs his toe.
Well, the Sacklers at this point are believed to be worth over $11 billion.
And they're still going.
They're still going. They're still out there.
Not in jail at all.
Not in jail.
No repercussions.
They've never, ever admitted any wrongdoing, any malpractice.
I mean, they're serial killers.
They are.
Like,
of the worst kind. They've probably got more lives on their conscience than any other human living today.
Their hands are soaked in blood.
Yeah.
And they don't care because they're billionaires.
Yeah.
So they're in the private jets doing whatever.
And they've
got
immunity.
And now, immunity.
In December 2021, a district judge, Colleen McMahon, ruled that the bankruptcy judge did not have the authority to give the Sacklers immunity, hoping to get them behind bars and off the streets. But this was overruled and stayed in the high courts in December 2023, leaving the Sackler family free of charge.
There's something going on there. They're either getting someone paid or, they know people. Because in my eyes, that is full-on murder. If you're consciously producing this heroin product, knowing it's going to get people addicted, people are going to want more. People are jumping over the shelves from the early days trying to get to it, and it's been going on this long.
Years by this point, yeah.
You are literally knowing you're killing people and harming people, well, and you continue to.
They knew what they were doing right from the start, mate. They were all medical doctors. They all knew exactly what they were putting in that product.
Yeah.
And they didn't care because they got their sales technique and they knew that they could make a lot of money on it.
What was the granddad called? Alexander?
Oh, Arthur. Arthur Sackler.
So you started off with someone who was generous, who liked art and things, and was
That's the thing. I would imagine that Arthur Sackler at this point is turning in his grave. Because all he wanted for his legacy was for his name to be remembered.
Yeah.
That was the whole thing with him, you know? He wanted his family to be respected, his name to be respected. Mm. And they have turned that name, you might as well call him Ted Bundy family.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They've literally ruined the legacy.
Bunch of sack ticklers.
Like doing. They might be rich, but they're sack ticklers.
They're not the Sacklers anymore. They're a bunch of sack ticklers. But what was his name? Richard.
Richard Stephen Sackler, yeah.
Piece of shizer, that's what I say. You ain't got a sense of that out. Now, that's unbelievable. That is...
Piezza di merda.
How do more people not know about this? Like, I just don't understand how they've got away with it. Like, that is nuts to
me. I think if you were if you lived in America in the 90s, early noughties, you will have heard of this.
I've heard of the drug OxyContin.
Yeah.
But it's just the whole family earning billions and no repercussions. They're not even in jail. This kind of thing.
Even after all this court case, they bought a house in England that used to be owned by Rod Stewart. Massive great manor house. $15 million they paid for it over the asking price just so they could get out of America and get in case that they were, you know, brought to justice.
I would like to think that karma catches up with people like that, but I don't think it does when you've got $1 billion.
No. We've got that much money. Like we've always said, I've said before, people with that much money have to have some element of psychopathy in their personality to be able to hoard that much money, create that much misery and death and destruction for so many families all across the United States without feeling any compunction.
Yeah.
That's just wrong.
That is wrong. And it's very shocking. Very, very shocking. I don't really know what to say about it because it has actually, I don't want to swear, frustrated me.
I thought you might go on a more of a rant about it, to be honest.
I mean, what can you say about it? Like, me ranting about it isn't going to change the fact that there's been no injustice.
No justice.
And they've got away with it. It's like they're billionaires. They're laughing. Yeah.
The thing is, as well, I didn't look into it too much. I know that they had to liquidate and file for bankruptcy on Purdue Pharma, and they're not allowed to produce opioids anymore.
Yeah.
And Purdue Pharma does no longer exist, but I think they do still actually have a pharmaceutical company where they're still selling some kind of products. I think it's called Mundi Pharma, I think. So, they're still very much in the game as well.
So, just for me to put this in perspective, America passed a law where you're not allowed to legally feed homeless people on the street, but someone can create a heroin drug, kill millions of people or hundreds of thousands of people, and get away with it and have no repercussions.
Yeah.
But you can't feed the homeless who need it.
Yeah. Hmm.
Interesting. And America and the government and, you know, high officials, they wonder why the rest of the world laughs at America when they have laws like this.
Yeah.
The same people that say, oh, the guns aren't the problem, it's the people.
Yeah.
They're the same kind of people where it's just so frustrating. Like, and
we're not corrupt at all.
No. And you wanted a Josh rant, so I'll give you one. Not necessarily all pharmaceutical, but it goes into it. And the amount of kind of things that happen in America that this is tolerated and this is just accepted, where people sue each other left, right and center.
Yeah.
And so much craziness with like teaching young kids about guns and having this whole routine and things that they have to do in case there's a school shooter and stuff. Whereas other countries have banished guns for more than 30 years. There hasn't been a single mass shooting in, I'm pretty sure it was Australia. Hasn't had a mass shooting since. But then these Americans who make these rules and are bought out by the National Rifle Association. Yeah.
Don't take our guns!
Yeah, don't take our guns, it's our rights. And it's like, why do you need that many guns? And when you see the statistics of the number one killer for children, all children under the age of 12, is guns. And they still say stupid, idiotic things like, well, maybe we could give the teachers guns. I'm like, how do you not understand through your dumb pea brains that guns are the problem?
But we're not talking about guns today, Josh. I've gone off on a tangent
because this is a similar thing, though. It's like hundreds of thousands of people are dead. And big pharma, big money, connections.
Yeah.
Clearly, if it's the White House, they have connections.
Know how sickening this is?
Yeah, I do.
Like, once they got the FDA approval and it went nationwide, they started releasing infomercials and, you know, adverts, getting people that were on OxyContin that had accidents or whatever to literally look into the camera and say, OxyContin gave me my life back.
Mm. And got you addicted.
How many lives did it take?
Yeah. I wonder crazy, what those people right? looked like.
I wonder how many of them ended up, you know, falling foul to it. Gave me my life back and then took it away.
It's just insane to me. It's just absolutely insane. These people need to be behind bars.
They do.
Or death penalty. That would be nice.
Yeah, capital punishment, yeah. Probably justified.
Oh, no, actually, solitary confinement. With nothing, that would be better than death.
No food or water, and just let them die of
starvation. Yeah, I would. Yeah, I think so. I think it's fair enough. Oh, no, actually, what you do is you put them in solitary confinement, and they have half a glass of water, and then the only thing they can eat is OxyContin.
OxyContin. Get them addicted to their own
I think that's fair.
Sorry, swear.
Oh, you're going to have to beep that out.
You're going to beep out now.
But yeah, that's the other thing. If it was that good, why weren't they taking it? Why weren't they promoting it?
Well,
like themselves, if you know what I mean. Instead of buying all these girls and doing all this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's infuriating. But America, with these kind of things, will never change. Like, it's just never going to change.
So, Disney, we gave an 8.9, I think it was, last week.
9.6.
9.6?
Mm-hmm.
Go on, I'll join you on the 9.6.
Yeah. Because
I was thinking more like a 9.7, 7.5.
The only reason I've gone 9.6 and not giving it higher is because although as evil as this is, I think there's other pharmaceutical companies and pharmaceuticals in general, there's probably a lot worse cases and things. There's probably things out there.
There's stuff that is almost as despicable as this. I was torn by a couple of different cases. There's this one. There's a more modern version of it. Kind of, you've heard of Xanax?
Yes.
That's had big problems as well. Maybe not quite on the scale of this. There was another pharmaceutical company that did blood tests. They just wanted a single drop of blood to do your test, and they could do it remotely. So they'd had a centralized location doing the actual tests, and then GPs and whatnot all over the country from these medical centers could send in the blood analysis results, and then they'd get the results back. But they were fraudulent results, and they were just running them through the old Siemens machine. And again, another billion-dollar company did actually get shut down, and the woman in charge of it is now in prison, rightly so.
So what's the difference between her and then this?
Exactly.
So one rule for one and one rule for another.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe still a multi-billion-dollar company, still doing medical mispractice. One ends up in prison, another entire family walk free.
Yeah.
That is why I call this one the most evil family. Even... like I said, back in the in 2021-2023 trials, the Attorney General turned to the Sackler family and said he was sickened by the practices of that company, and that they were possibly the most evil family. This is the Attorney General. Like, I'm almost quoting him. They were the most evil family he's ever heard of them in the history of the United States.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe it. They are serial killers in my eyes. And rotten hell.
Scourge on humanity.
Yeah. How do you sleep at night, sack ticklers? That's what I say.
But anyway, that's my evil empire.
And that brings our average to 9.6. I believe.
Because we both said 9.6. Yeah. Yeah, well done.
Yeah, I worked that out.
Yeah, so. There's some quick maths.
Yeah, quick maths.
So, other news. Our merch has come in.
Yeah.
The merch is here. Josh is now showing off a fantastic hoodie with our logo on it. I have the competition winner's T-shirt on. We've still got that in the shop. Mm. Although our shop has now... change places. We're not with Spreadshop anymore. The prices of this merch is a lot more agreeable. I was able to buy twice as much for the same amount of money as what I could from Spreadshop. So we are now, if you're interested in getting this merch for yourself, because I mean I'm wearing a dazzling t-shirt with the Ouija board design. You've got the main UFO design, the Paranormality logo hoodie. I love that hoodie. And if you want to get some of this for yourself, if you want to look as snazzy as Josh does right now, then you want to head to paranormalityuk.mymercher.com. And that is spelled MYMERCHR, My Mercher.
You went a bit Welsh there.
Did I?
My Mercher.
My Mercher. And yeah, go ahead and have a look. We got only like a couple of t-shirts, a couple of hoodies. There's a tea towel on there that I am going to probably do like a little bonus footage on how I'm going to turn that into a bandana. We wanted to get a bandana, but we couldn't get one. Tea towel was the closest we could get. Yeah,
for all the mums and milfs out there, get yourself a tea towel.
I'm going to do like a little Blue Peter style, this is how you make a bandana video, and probably put that on Discord. Well, this is one of the most brilliant things that we've got on there, though, is the Paranormality Research Book. For those of you watching on YouTube, you'll see how shiny and awesome the logo looks on the front of that book. So if you want to do your own paranormal research, I'll probably actually start using this book on my next episode.
Yeah, I would.
Well, yeah, it's better than that old thing. Get yourself out. I think this was only like £6, to be honest, the book. Nice little notebook. And if you want to do your own research or, you know, note down your findings when you're out ghost hunting or whatever, pick up one of them, £6, Paranormality UK on the front of it. Looks awesome.
Yeah, it does actually look really cool.
And that is our call to action for the week. So please visit paranormalityuk.mymertra.com.
Yeah.
And until next week, I've been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
And this has been Paranormality UK. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
Oh my God, it's the coolest thing ever. Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? Well, check this out. It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic famous foods from restaurants across the country anywhere nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. Seriously. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
This is a mini meditation guided by Bombas. Repeat after me. I'm comfy. Comfy. I'm cozy. Cozy. I have zero blisters on my toes. Blisters. And that's because I wear Bombas. The softest socks, underwear, and t-shirts that give back. One purchased equals one donated. Now go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST at checkout.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate. And they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.